Well, good morning. What a blessing it is the day after Christmas to come into the Lord's house. And we talked some months ago. A lot of people canceled service today, and we all agreed that where else would we rather be than in our Father's house this morning? How many of you agree with that this morning? Yeah. And those of you online, we're so thankful that you're here. I'll tell you that yesterday, so Friday night we had Christmas Eve service, and yesterday we needed to clean between Friday night and this morning. And I just want to say a huge thank you to the clean team, and I could name them by name, but they would be upset with me. They cleaned this place on Christmas morning yesterday. Give them a hand. And I must be getting older because through this Christmas season, I found myself on the front row with tears in my eyes of gratitude for just what the Lord has done, and not only in my life, but in this place. Friday night, we had just some amazing services, and I believe that the Lord is going to impart in our hearts and our lives. But last week as well, we had our Tuesday night children's gathering at activity night, and we had a lot of kids there, and we got to bless the community. And I've gotten a ton of phone calls, a ton of text messages and so on, just about the great blessing that you were, that the City Church and St. Anthony's churches were to the community. And I want to say thank you for that. I'm thankful for Jesus. I'm thankful that he makes a way for us, and he's definitely made a way for us this Christmas season, especially in this place. And I'm so thankful. And as believers of Christ, I think we've spent quite a bit of time on the Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, really spent some time appreciating Jesus coming into a manger. Great messages on Friday night and last Sunday as well about this Christmas season. But I want to, if you will, for a minute, I want to back up just a little bit in Scripture this morning to Luke chapter 1 and 10. And if you'll read along with me, I believe that the Lord will speak to us this morning. And it says these words, "And when the time had come for the burning of incense came, all the assembled worshipers were praying outside. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing at the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw this, he was startled and gripped with fear. But the angel said to him, 'Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you are to call him John. He will be a great joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be a great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or fermented drink. He'll be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he's born. He will bring back many, many of the people of Israel back to the Lord, their God.'" In verse 17 it says, "And he will go on before the Lord in the spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." You're starting to connect all the dots. Zechariah asked the angel, "How can you be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years." And the angel said to him, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent to speak to you and tell you this good news." And I love this. I love what he says to him. "And now you will be silent. You won't be able to speak until the day this happens, because you did not believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." Verse 20, one more time. "And then you'll be silent. You won't be able to speak because you didn't believe my words, which will come true at their appointed time." I believe with all my heart that there are people that are listening today and will listen later that have prayed for things, and God has a promise and a miracle stored up for them. He has, his promises are ever true. His blessings, his covenant, his love, is so true in our lives. But as Zechariah in the scripture, he begins to list all the reasons. He begins to tell the angel of the Lord, this is why it can't happen. This is why it can't take place in my life. And the angel begins to respond to him. He first of all says, you're not going to speak anymore. I'm not going to allow you in this moment. I'm not going to allow you to ruin the moment. You won't speak, but the appointed time will come to pass. And I want to say to someone this morning, there's an appointed time. And Zechariah walks into the temple and he has tradition. He is bound with tradition. He is bound with routine, which I think is so important. If you know me well enough, I'm a routine guy. You can catch me doing just about the same thing every day of the week. I think routine and tradition is so important, but I also believe that faith in God to do the impossible and to move the mountains in our lives is equally important. And there is an appointed time. There is an appointed season. And you might say, well, I don't know what that time is. You might say, well, I think that time came and went. I want to tell you this morning, Zechariah is 91 years old in this scripture. At this time, he's 91 years old, and the miracle comes to pass in his life in his 90s. An appointed time comes together. The message this morning, by God's grace, I want to share with you is your appointed time. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning that you have an appointment for us. I pray this morning, God, that your Holy Spirit would rest in such a time, in such a way, in such a time as this. God, that you'd be glorified and your ministry would come forth with clarity and understanding, Father, that each one that hears it would walk away with an understanding that you have good in store for them. I pray for the grace to preach this morning your great word. In Jesus' name, amen. During this season, we have recognized the birth of Christ. Some people say he wasn't born on December 25th, and we don't care because we don't worship the day. We worship the event. We worship Jesus Christ being born in a manger. And I talk a lot about environment. If you're around me at all, I talk about environment. One of the reasons why I do is because when I come home, and I can be in all kinds of environments through the week. And if I could only just snap pictures of the types of environments that I'm in from time to time, you'd be able to understand. When I come home and Sam, there's smells in my house. There's a calmness. The light, she's, when we put some new lighting in our house, and she had certain lights put in certain places with the certain color of light put in to our home to create an environment that when we walk in the house, there is a calm and a peace that flows in it. This environment matters. The environments that we are involved in matters. And the environment in this text is extremely, extremely important. Christ is coming into an environment where things are less than favorable for the Jewish people. They're not in power. They aren't ruling. At the time of the birth of Jesus, he doesn't come as a king to overthrow another power or take power. He comes at a time where it seems Israel to have no king and to have no influence. She has no governors. She has no leaders. No Jewish person that controls the direction or influence the direction of God's chosen people. I'm not saying that these people are still in Babylon. No, they have left and escaped Babylon and went to their mother home, Israel. They are in the land of Abraham. They are in the land of Isaac. They are in the land of Jacob. They are home, but they don't have an at-home feeling like I've just described. They know what it's like to be captive, but they're experiencing it at this point in the scripture what it's like to be home and feel as though they're captive. They are not free. They are in a familiar place, but they are not free in this familiar place. Imagine in the United States, imagine for a minute, if you may, another sovereign power coming into the United States of America and putting up signs in different languages and putting up signs in different places. You are in a familiar country, but you are not familiar with the sovereign power that has taken control in this place. This is the atmosphere of the scripture. The Roman Empire wasn't just in Rome. The Roman Empire is a vast colonized organization expanded into Israel and beyond. Caesar was in Rome, and he had acting governors, and in this scripture, Herod, and a variety of political figures, and these were the people that were in authority in Israel, controlling God's people. I think of it this way. I think of Jewish culture. I think of the food. My dad has been to Israel several times. I have several pastoral friends that have spent significant time in Israel, and they explain about the food. They explain about the country setting. They explain about the farming and the laughter of children. They explain about the Jewish perspective embraced by most of the country being God's people. The Romans come into power in this city called Jerusalem, in this city, in this state called Israel, and in the midst of this beautiful culture, they begin to create a humiliation and an influence on the Israeli people, and they do it. One of the ways they do it is by creating the smell and the scenery of crucifixion. Among other tactics, to intimidate the Jewish people in their own country, to let them know you might be home, but we control your home. Crucifixion wasn't just for Jesus. If you read about the history during this time, there was thousands of people crucified in the streets as a public display of control and intimidation. The Romans were telling the Jews, stay quiet. And these are the context, not only of the first chapter of Luke, it's the same context in the second chapter of Luke when it describes the birth of Jesus Christ. That they are at home, but we need to understand what the scripture is not saying. Being home didn't feel like being at home. Imagine this church when you walk in the scripture, they call the temple of God. They call the Jewish synagogue Herod's Temple. That was the title of the temple. Imagine this church being called Herod's City Church. This is the feeling that the people of God have entered into, oppression at its height. No more kings of Israel. This was a stepping stone location for Roman officials to make their mark, and then move back to Rome. In this text we've just read today, the Jewish people are clinging to tradition and culture and routine because it's all they had left. We've learned just a tad bit of this. You can see people around Christmas time the last couple of years because our services were taken from us at a point. And then when our services opened back up, we were clinging to tradition. We were clinging to anything that had normalcy to it. Please let me go to dinner. Please let me go to church. Please let me go to work. And that's what these people, to a whole nother level, are dealing with. They are at the height of oppression. And I'm not comparing this to our current days, but I do compare it to say normal doesn't matter until normal is gone. And for these people, normal is out the window. Normal is gone. And they are clinging to any normalcy that they can find. But a group, a coalition of people, if you may, go to the temple, go to the synagogue to begin to teach and begin to pattern, if you remember that word from a couple weeks ago, how to celebrate their God. In this text, the Jews are still patterning their faith foundation, although they are oppressed. And what they're showing this community of faith, but not just this community of faith, our community of faith, is that we might be faced with extreme difficulty. We might be in this, but we are not this. We are going to get through this. We are a dignified, holy, royal priesthood set apart. And although we may be pressed on every side, we will be okay. We will overcome. It's okay what's happening in the world, but the world isn't getting into us. In this text I've just read today, a 91-year-old man named Zechariah, the head of the priests, gets up and heads into the synagogue and begins to show a pattern to those following behind him of how important it is what we do week in and week out. And I love that even about this place, the people that have gone before me to pattern what the significance of coming to the Lord's house, this significant of supporting God's house in a multitude of ways. This organization is so much bigger, so much brighter than just one, two, three, four families. This is a coalition of God's people accomplishing the will of God in a city. And in this scripture, Zechariah heads to the temple, and although he's pressed on every side and the dynamics of the scripture have just been brought to light, Zechariah is not only discouraged about the erosion of Jewish culture, he's also struggling because he would be the succession of priests in this scripture. His family would be the succession of priests. And he's come and he's patterning what God has asked him to do with this weight on him, not only of the cultural dynamics of this point, but also his own dynamic. He wants a son so badly. This succession is so, so important. This scripture is not an introduction to a Christmas story. It is a people fighting for who they are. Zechariah shows up at the temple and begins through routine and tradition to center an identity. This is so important. I didn't say this in the first service. Do you know that your routine centers your identity? I really felt the mom and the dad needed to hear this, that the traditions and the routines that you create. When we were kids, we weren't allowed to open presents until my dad read the Christmas story before it. It's a routine and tradition that I'll never forget, and it has centered my identity. It has created a pattern and a patoros, what the Greek word is. It's created this pattern in my life that I don't run too far from. Thank God, Dad says. He goes into the synagogue to pray because this is my tradition. This is my religion. And most importantly, this is my God. Because if I'm ever going to be fulfilled through Christmas and beyond, and if I could say this morning, don't carry your brokenness. Don't carry your dysfunction. Don't carry your hurt into this next year. Take care of it now. He goes into the synagogue to pray because my tradition tells me to. My routine tells me to. Zechariah says, lighting the incense of prayer with a multitude of people inside and outside because that's all I have left. Sometimes all you have left is the tradition that's been laid out before you. Life gets so difficult that Zechariah says, I must be about my Father's business. Walks in, and all they have left of normal, get this atmosphere that they're living in, all that they have left is the traditions that they've been taught, like going to church for a routine. My first thought this morning, routine is so important. Routine and tradition is so important. There's traditions that we have here. There's routine that we have here that's so important. But don't let routine kill your expectation. I'm going to be done in a few minutes here. Hear this. Don't pray this season without an expectation. A multitude of people are outside and inside this synagogue, and they aren't expecting anything to happen. He's the priest of the house. He's a good man, the scripture describes him as, and he's praying, but he has zero expectation for God to move. Unbelief shows up in God's house. All this happens right in the church. It doesn't happen at a workplace. It doesn't happen at a job. It doesn't happen at the grocery store. It doesn't even happen at the bar. It's happening right in the house of God. Unbelief is in the house. Unbelief is on the board. Unbelief is singing. Unbelief is leading. Unbelief is dressed up. Unbelief is acting like they have it all together, believing in God, but it's only a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. They are saying what they need to say, doing what they need to do, but not truly engaged in the faith aspect of our discipleship. Routine can kill expectation. And I know this from my own life. Some mornings I just walk into church and I'm busy doing this and I'm busy doing that. And I'm finishing this and finishing that. And sometimes I can miss the expectation that God has for my life and your life. If you're going to pray in this new year, if you're going to ask for God for something in this new year, you better ask Him in faith and believe Him in grace that He's going to perform every good and perfect gift that He sends from God in heaven above. If you're praying for your kid, have an expectation for breakthrough. If you're praying for your finances, have an expectation for a blessing. If you're praying for your marriage, don't turn the corner and say, "He'll never do that." Have an expectation that God will do the impossible. And exactly what He's asking God to do, the man of God, Himself, is shocked because He actually does. Would you believe that? Have you ever been shocked because God worked it all out? You say, "Oh, it's never going to happen. She'll never do it. He'll never do it. I'll never have that. I'll never do this." And all of a sudden, God does it. And you're so shocked that it's hard to even receive it. Did you listen to the scripture I read to you? The angel of the Lord, as a representative of God Himself, the scripture says that He'd have the Holy Spirit in Him in the womb. The Holy Spirit begins to speak and says, "Hey man, shut up. You're not going to speak another word. You're not going to say another thing because all you're uttering is unbelief." And He closes the mouth of Zechariah, the man of God. Exactly what He asked Him for, He did. God stepped into the church. He stepped into the synagogue, and the people were shocked. What God is going to do in your life, I pray you receive this. What God is going to do in your life, what God wants to do in your life in 2022, it's going to shock you. You're going to look back. I look back at even this year, 2021, and I just want to do a skip around this place because God has done an amazing work. You might not see it. You might not realize it. You might not comprehend it, but I know it deep in my soul that God brought us out of a miry clay and my feet are set up on the rock, and it's Christ Jesus. And if you'll believe it for 2021, if you'll say, "Thank you, Lord, that you did it in my past." See, what the scripture begins to depict is it begins to depict a people that were told about the miracles that happened to their ancestors. When God parted the Red Sea, when God made a way where there seemed to be no way, when God brought them out of Babylon, and God brings them back to this place and says, "Don't you think I can do it again? Don't you, what happened to you that you don't think God can do it all over again?" Stuck in their thoughts, their comprehension of what they can do, their abilities, not God's abilities. You and I have an appointed time. Don't lose the expectation on the journey. Don't let the enemy tell you that delay is denial and end up with a broken heart. When I type that, I felt the Holy Ghost so strong, even as I pressed the keys. There's someone in here, you've got a broken heart because you think that delay is denial. Delay's not denial, my friend. Delay sometimes is God's handiwork taking place in our lives. Let me show you in the scripture. The reason the baby was delayed until Zechariah was a 91-year-old man is because this is the John that the scripture says he makes way the way of the Lord. He is speaking. He is ministering. He is bringing people to Christ even before Jesus' ministry at 30 years old. What would have happened if he would have come earlier? It would have messed up the plan of God. God couldn't allow that to happen, and it's the same true in your life. You're kicking and screaming. You're mad and you're anxious and you're got an attitude with everybody you come in contact with. And God just keeps on saying, don't you trust me that I can do it? Don't you trust me that I'll bring it to pass? Why'd you lose your expectation? Why'd you lose your faith? You think she can control? You think the Romans can control what I do? You think the kids at school can control what I have planned out for you? You think your boss can control what I've got planned out for you? I don't think so, baby. Get your heart filled with expectation, and I'll bring it to pass. When did nothing become normal? When did nothing become our normal in marriages? When did nothing become our normal in finances? Don't wear this pledge of discouragement and depression based on denial. I'm believing for this new year. I'm believing for healings to take place in sick bodies. I'm believing for salvations to take place. I'm believing for financial breakthrough. I'm believing for expansion. I'm believing for depression gone. I'm believing for your appointed time and season. I want to see the glory of God come to pass in your life and in my life, in my marriage and in your marriage, in your business and in my business, in my sons and in your sons and daughters, your finances, your situation, your appointed time is coming to pass. Zechariah has his incense. He's coming to the temple, and it smells of prayer. The smell of prayer has changed the atmosphere, and that's why the Bible talks about the incense and prayer together, because prayer changes the smell. It changes the atmosphere. It changes the moment. And God can smell the prayer of his saints above a crucifixion, above the shedding of blood, above the flesh. He can smell your prayer even if your flesh isn't lined up right, even if your home isn't lined up right, even if your business isn't lined up right. God can smell the prayer of his saints. The prayer of his saints goes up, as the scripture says, as a sweet-smelling savor, a prayer that cries out to God. God smells prayer. My second point, and I'm almost done. Prayer is the bridge to your pregnancy. I don't think there's any men here that want to be pregnant, and there's a lot of women here that don't want to be pregnant, but I'm not talking about a natural pregnancy. I'm talking about a pregnancy for the miracles and the signs and wonders that you've been praying for. Prayer is the intimacy that changes things. Prayer shakes up the atmosphere and environment. Prayer starts the conversations that opens the door for Gabriel to come. Over and over and over again, the scripture says in the Old Testament, and the children of children of Israel cried out to God. You remember that? And the children of Israel cried out to God. And the children of Israel cried out to God. You know when God began to move? When they begin to cry. When they begin to cry out to the Lord. He heard his people. God isn't happy with you depressed. God isn't happy with you discouraged. God isn't happy with you broke. Why would you believe the Romans? Why would you believe the naysayers? Stop believing even the story that you've told yourself, the narrative that you've told yourself. Stop believing evil words that have been presented over your life. Begin to believe the testimony of your ancestors and also the testament of saints before us. God said, when you pray, I move. And Gabriel says, you are praying, so here comes your miracle. We say, I prayed for 2 weeks, nothing's changed. This old man had been praying for, let's say, 80 years. When he was young and barren, his family was barren. And now she's old and she's talking to Jesus. He's talking to Jesus, which tells us the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Can I tell you, church? I don't want a faithless discipleship. I don't want to be a preacher to do normal. I don't want to be a paycheck preacher, just showing up, doing the minimums. I want to be a child of God that expects the supernatural to take place not only in my life, but your life. We could just do business as normal, but we want to do the exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or think type of faith. I can get normal at the doctor when he tells me my prognosis. But when I need a miracle, I show up at the synagogue. I show up at the house of the Lord. Zechariah hits him with all the reasons why it can't happen. And you're probably doing the same. Here's why it won't happen. Here's why it can't happen. Here's why it shouldn't happen. Zechariah told Gabriel all the reasons, and they were good. They were legitimate and true. And Zechariah was a good man. The Bible depicts him as a good man. He wasn't a crazy. He was a good man. But we serve a God that wants to do the impossible. And God will wait until you know it's impossible with yourself to say these words. If it wasn't for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? You have an appointed time, but have you lost your expectation? Have you lost the expectation that where you leave off, God can pick up and do the impossible? I asked you a question 2 weeks ago. I hope you remember it. Why did you stop building your faith? This is what the Lord told me. Because you lost your expectation and you forgot. You have an appointed time. I pray for 2022. I don't want to do normal. I don't want to just go through routine. I love routine. I love tradition. But I don't want to just do the minimums. I want to see the signs and wonders type of God, the God miracles come to pass in my life. All I can think of in the book of Acts where there was tongues of fire. And the Holy Spirit fell on those that were there. And the scripture says they were filled with expectation. You know what I believe keeps us from miracles? You know what I believe keeps us from God moments? I believe this scripture is a depiction that says, don't lose your expectation because you'll lose your miracle. Don't miss your time. Don't miss your appointed season. Don't miss your appointed time. By losing your expectation, if this is your prayer, lift your hand all over this place. I pray that hope and expectation would fill every heart. It would fill every life for the brokenhearted, Father. Those that they have a broken heart, they've lost hope for tomorrow. I pray that you would fill them with expectation and wonder this Christmas season and beyond for relationships. I hear a mom saying, I just can't find the love that I need. Father, would you do a miracle? As her expectation is rising, as her faith is rising, Father, would you do a miracle in a home? Thank you for this house in 2022. We expect you to do the exceedingly and abundantly above all we can ask or think in this place, in this season, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, we love you so much. 2022 is going to be an awesome year. It really is. You need to start looking yourself in the mirror and just telling yourself 2022 is going to be off the chain. I love you guys. Happy New Year.